right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Real quickly, before we get to the news, if you'd like to check out the headphones, go to eBay. And I'm selling an old pair of headphones of mine. I thought maybe get 10, 20 bucks for them. And all the money, every cent of it, I donated those headphones.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
not taking a penny.
Not
every
taking...
cent of it
wow.
goes to Gina Grab to try to get her out of her financial woes.
Squalor. Or this rabbi.
Gina, please. Evidently, you can afford booze. Wow. She really is in need of a lot of dough.
And also, if you're a Conway and Whitman listener, and those, I believe those headphones even predate me. They go back to the Conway and Steckler days.
They're about 6 years old.
Yeah. So that, I mean, if you are a person that has enjoyed listening to Tim for a long time.
Thank you.
They're sentimental. They're certainly a conversation starter, and I would check them out at eBay.
All right, eBay. Go to eBay. Tim Conway Jr.'s signed or autographed headphones. Just put in Conway headphones. You'll see it. It's up to $114, and 300 people, 301 persons,
yeah,
have looked at it. Jesus Christ.
A fly in here.
Why is there so many effing flies, like fruit flies in here?
I don't know.
The whole building has flies, these little tiny flies buzzing around.
You know what? I think it's, well, I don't want to say.
What is it?
No, we had the, for so long, you know, with the floors and everything.
What?
Well, the floors for so long weren't working and there was openings.
Maybe that's it. Who knows? All right. It's news with Robin. A little after 9, everybody.
Now.
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile. Here's Robin with the news. Yeah.
All right, Robin, man. What's in the news, Bubba?
Well, it is just going crazy out there with the presidential campaign.
Yeah.
First, I'd like to say, which I'm sure both of you know, Governor Mike Huckabee gave a speech this evening thanking people for their support throughout his campaign, but letting them know that he was officially bowing out of the race for the White House. And here is some audio from Huckabee's speech earlier today.
Huckabee, man.
Huckabee.
Huckabee.
H-153.
All right, here goes Huckabee.
George Brett was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And in his career for the Kansas City Royals, he was asked when he was nearing the end of his career how he wanted his last play in the major leagues to go. Well, everyone assumed that he would say that he wanted to hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth to win a game, perhaps even a World Series. He surprised all the sports writers because what he said was, I want my last play at bat to be that I hit an easy, just one bounce to the second baseman, and they throw me out at first. But I was running as hard as I could toward the bag when they got me. And he said, because I want it to be said of George Brett that no matter what, he played his best game, he gave it his best all the way to the very end. And he certainly did just that.
Wow.
That's a beautiful that's a beautiful way to end a campaign.
There he goes. Back to Arkansas.
Yeah, did you know that about George Brett? Did he say that? I guess he said
He must have said it.
What
a dumb way to go out.
No, I thought that was really good. I thought that was a real
one
good
one bounce at his second base.
Well, sure, you know, but he's running as you know, he's running as hard as he could to get to first.
Yeah,
I like that speech. I like that a lot.
I like to see that play, and I like to see, in my opinion, if he was running as hard as he could.
All right. You like to challenge the governors?
Yeah, I bet the other pins weren't what they used to be, and maybe he took a break.
All right. Perhaps that's true.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Yes. Well, the presidential campaign is getting very heated, and fear-based campaigns are on the rise. Here is audio of Senator Clinton's ad that you spoke of earlier that's running right now that alludes to the idea that the country would not be safe in Senator Obama's hands. C-153.
All right. C-153, the Clinton ad.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House, and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call.
Why don't you answer that,
whether it's
Pumpkin?
Someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world.
Christ, get that phone.
It's 3 a.m., and your children are safe and asleep.
Jesus
who do
God.
You want answering the phone?
Get that phone.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
You know what? If there is something really going on in the world,
yeah,
I'd hate for it to ring eight times. I don't know where these people are.
You know, if something...
The phone doesn't ring eight times at my house at 3 a.m.
I'll tell you what. If something really bad was happening in the world, I would hope she was out of town, and I would want him to answer. I'll take a shot at this. Jello. I'd want him to pick up that phone.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. What a funny ad.
You know, about that voice, that deep voice, too? Well, it's the, like, scary the hell out of people.
You know what it is? It's the alarm guy. It's the alarm, you know, like if someone breaks into your home.
Yeah, the
it's
ADT
the,
guy.
Yeah, the ADT. It's a great voiceover.
All right. What it's was that? C-153?
C-153.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing.
Yeah, and somebody wants more cigarettes.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing.
And nobody's picking it up.
Hey, get that, will you? I'm tired over here. Jeez.
All right. It's going to be weird, though, if Hillary becomes president, where he sleeps in the same bed where he was president, but he gets up in the morning and he just goes, you know, plays golf or...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he goes shopping.
Yeah, it would be
eats
like...
those French fries.
It'd be like an eight-year vacation. He'd have all the luxuries of the old gig,
right,
but he wouldn't have to do the work.
But don't you think he would eventually get in a way, like he is so into being president, that he would, you know, like be sitting in that Oval Office? I'll take it, baby. I'll take it today.
I think that probably you know, it would be a very funny sketch for Saturday Night Live. It'd be like very funny when and if she wins. Like after the inauguration, they come back to the Oval Office, and he is like real over the top annoying, showing her where everything is. You know, and if you ever need to like write a quick note to somebody, you can just do that right here. And you know, I had that couch right there. You know, some people said to move, but I think it looks good there the way I had it, don't you? You know, I would do something.
Plus, like he can't have the Oval Office anymore to hit the chicks.
Right,
he's got to do it somewhere else.
Well, up in the residence, up on the I believe.
Oh, Bobo.
On the second floor. By the way, the amazing thing about that commercial, if you saw it on television this weekend, they were showing Hillary Clinton with that phone call ringing. At the end...
It is a good ad.
At the end, they show her on the phone, but she's in full makeup. She's got her glasses on, fully dressed, like at 3 a.m.
Yeah, they should have had her hair messed up, no makeup.
In a house coat.
Right. With cucumbers on her eyes.
Yes.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep.
Oh, ass.
Right. Yeah.
No, they should have it in the background. Oh, ass.
Here it is again.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep.
Oh, ass.
But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world.
Get that phone, Bob. Your
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes. On the flip side of that campaign, we have a piece of audio of Obama's response. C-154.
All right. C-154, Obama's response.
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone ringing in the White House. When that call gets answered, shouldn't the president be the one, the only one, who had judgment and courage to oppose the Iraq war from the start? In a dangerous world, it's judgment that matters.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
That's a weak ad.
Yeah, that is a weak ad. And you could tell you could tell which campaign has better media advisors. The voiceover on his ad is much weaker than hers.
Well, also, I mean, if there is a crisis at 3 a.m., and something, a decision has to be made. And again, let's say, you know, there's terrorists in Iran that need to be taken out.
Right.
And they call up and go, hey, Barack, we got a terrorist camp that's just over the border. It's in Iran.
I think they'd say,
but
Mr.
we know there's 54 of them there. Can we bomb them?
Yeah,
and he says, listen, I opposed the war at the get-go. I know. I know. We can't go back there, Mr. President. Do you give us permission to go after these guys? Well, I opposed it.
The campaign's over.
I totally opposed the war.
The campaign's over, sir. But can we, because we have them in our target,
yeah,
our
we're
sights.
Looking at them right now. Yeah,
we see them.
Kill these guys. It's going to be a big balls up of the Ram. Well, I opposed it. I mean, from the beginning.
This is what would happen on the other side. She'd go like this. You're holding the phone, as I am now for Tim and Robin. Oh, you see 54 Al-Qaeda in your sights? And then you'd hear a hand over the phone, and you'd hear this in the background. Well, yeah, if they see them, just go get them. I mean, if they see them right now, then take them out. Yeah, I give the authorization to take them out. Okay, thank you.
You know, if that were the case...
Solved another one. Night-night, pumpkin.
It's I know, this is going to make you crazy, but if that were the case, if a phone call came in at 3 a.m.,
yeah.
I would like for that phone call to be forwarded to Crawford, Texas. And George Bush picks it up because he'll always give him permission to go after him.
Well, it doesn't matter what he sees. I mean, they could see, quail. Yeah, they could be quail hunting.
Sure. All right.
Shoot it.
Anything else in the news, Rob?
Yes, well, the candidates then found themselves debating again over who would be a better leader of the free world. Here is a clip of Senator Clinton stating why exactly she's different from Obama. H-154.
H-154? All right, here we go.
And I have to say, this has been a very mild primary campaign. Maybe I have watched too many of them, but this has been... a very positive exchange. There are differences. You know, obviously, our health care plans differ. I would provide a plan that would be affordable for everyone, and everyone would be covered. That would be good news to the 1.3 million Ohioans who don't have health care. There's differences on home foreclosure. I have a plan to stop the home foreclosures, and my opponent does not. But we'll, you know, get united, and we'll be behind whoever the nominee is, and we'll go on to victory in November.
By the way, I think it's switched in Texas now. I think he's leading by some 40,000 votes.
In Texas?
Yes.
No,
yep,
get
look
out
there.
Of here.
64% in. I think he has three.
Nah, dude, it's a 101 to 47.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great.
What's wrong with
you? She still has 50,000 more votes.
All right, yeah, she's got...
she's got it in the bag.
It's 51-48. It's close to over.
That's what George Bush beat John Kerry by, 51-48.
So... All right, anything else in the news, Robert?
Yes, well, finally, we had the response from Senator Obama accusing Clinton of acting out of desperation. 0177.
0177, here we go.
I think she has gotten a little desperate towards the end of this campaign, and I think has been a lot more aggressive in her negative attacks. And as I pointed out, we've actually had a pretty significant moment in the last several years that called people's judgment into question, and that was the war in Iraq. And she had a lot of time to consider it and made the wrong call, just as Senator McCain did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then how come Senator Obama, Senator Jesus, how come Christ himself on two feet, when you got into the United States Senate, you voted exactly the way Senator Clinton did? Do you realize that? From the moment he became a U.S. senator, his voting record and Hillary Clinton's voting record on the issue of Iraq, exactly the same. So let's talk about judgment. You voted exactly as she has.
All right.
I mean, the guy's a fake.
Hey, Ron, what was the last clip? What was the Hillary clip? The one before then.
That
was H-154?
H-154.
All right. And this, they should play the background music because Hillary is alive again. They thought she was dead.
Right.
Hillary Clinton is alive.
And I have to say, this has been a very mild primary campaign. Maybe I have watched too many of them, but this has been, a very positive exchange. There are differences. You know, obviously, our health care plans differ. I would provide a plan that would be affordable for everyone, and everyone would be covered. That would be good news to the 1.3 million Ohioans who don't have health care. There's differences on home foreclosure. I have a plan to stop the home foreclosures, and my opponent does not.
Go get
but we'll, you know, get united, and we'll be behind whoever the nominee is, and we'll go on to victory.
That's what she's. That's all he's hearing.
Great theme.
Is that they thought she was dead, yeah, and she's coming back.
They're going, Barack. And he's saying, what is it? It's a dream, right? Like, no, turn on the television.
She's back. All right, anything else in the news, Robin?
That's what's happening.
And that's it, everybody.
What? What?
All
America
right. Robin in Los Angeles. Robin with the news. All right. I got a very disturbing email from... this station today.
You did?
Yeah. And I don't know if I guess I can read it on the air, right?
Sure.
We're doing a live remote, and it looks like March 14th at KCAL CBS.
Right.
Where we'll be on KCAL at 8:35, 9:35, and 10:35.
Yeah, it's always fun to do that.
Paul Majors and the whole crew over there. And Pat Harvey.
Yep, Pat comes on, and Josh Rubenstein comes on.
Right. And so I invited Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Sure.
Adam Carolla. Of course, with Teresa, she's always welcome. Always a lovely to see her.
Teresa Strasser.
Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah.
Tom Likas. And, the whole crew.
Yeah.
And, John and Jeff work at night, or else, we'd love to have those guys out there.
Right,
as well.
They come on.
Or maybe they can come out earlier and then go back to work. Kind of. But anyway, I got a response from Frosty. He's not going to be able to make it.
Oh,
he's very nice and said, you know, he's got other plans.
He's a very nice guy.
He said congratulations on the ratings, and then I said, well, I mean, look at you guys. Got a 6.1.
Yeah, you're a stud, Conway.
18 to 34-year-olds, they got a 6.1.
Right. Just call him a stud in the email. You're the stud, man.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I figured you would.
And anyway, so I got an email from Angie Fitzsimmons.
Angie Fitzsimmons.
That is the executive.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I was going to lay that on him. You need to jump on me there, my brother.
Yeah. I just think, yeah. By the way, I know who she is. I just repeated the name.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Randy. Oh.
Does she like that joke, Angie Fitzsimmons and Simmons Fitzangie?
Fitzangie.
No. All right. So anyway, so she emailed me and she said, Adam Carolla cannot make it on the 14th.
Oh, no.
And she said, and here's the email that bothered me. She said he'll be too busy with Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, right. He's doing that.
And he'll be rehearsing. And she goes, it's funny to write this. I'm sure it's funny to read. He'll be dancing, too busy dancing to do your show. Right?
Okay. Well, she's right. It probably
he'll be
was.
Practicing dancing and doing too much dancing to come on at 8 o'clock with us.
Right. Did you laugh as she probably
laughed? Yeah, I thought that was pretty amusing.
Yeah.
So I wrote her back, and I said I would rather have read the following. All right? Adam Carolla cannot make it on March 14th. As you may have seen in the news, he stabbed his wife last night, grabbed his son, and went to Mexico with a stripper.
Right.
Maybe we can set something up and do a live satellite feed from Cabo San Lucas in the future, right? But I would have been prouder of the man.
Yeah, had you read that.
If he had an altercation with the little one,
yeah,
grabbed his son, left his daughter, and headed over the border with some stripper he met at Spearmint Rhino.
Right. You would have preferred, would that have restored, for lack of a better term, your faith in his masculinity?
Well, it would have been more like a Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid thing to do.
Yeah, which is your favorite movie.
Yeah, as opposed to a Donny Osmond thing to do.
Yeah, right. Good,
you know?
good comparison.
Thank you very much. Thank you. But anyway, so that's that was the very disturbing email. Very
so
early this morning.
We won't get him on March 14th because he'll be dancing.
He'll be too busy dancing.
He'll literally be dancing while we're doing that.
Exactly. Yeah, he'll be dancing. Instead of coming on with us. So we wish him luck. I hope he wins Dancing with the Stars.
Of course. Well,
why would I not wish him the best?
It's a very stiff competition. By the way, if you win it, I think that you get a lot. You get some prizes and a lot of media attention.
Now, that leads me to a little topic I'd like to bring up here.
Yes, Tim.
In this country of ours, this great country of ours, United States of America.
In this great land.
It's a good time to be alive in this country. There's a lot of benefits. Real simply, are men becoming more like women, or are women becoming more like men?
Oh, I've got an answer.
And you know what my answer is?
Yeah.
I think women are becoming more like men.
Oh, see, I think men are becoming more like women.
All right, I guarantee you by the end of the night, I think I can convince you that I'm right, okay?
All right. Or we could even, at the end of the night, we can still disagree,
men
would be okay.
Men aren't fighting to become like women. Women are fighting to become like men.
Right, but men...
When's the last time you saw a woman in a dress?
Well, on television or something?
Just walking down the street.
Why don't you take note of that? I mean, I do see when I see women, you know, around the office here.
Are they mostly in pants?
Yeah, mostly in pants,
right,
yeah,
which is a men's thing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes. That's true. Sometimes you see them in a skirt.
But I think you see more women with short hair than you see guys with long hair.
That's true. I think that's probably true.
You also see more women working at Home Depot than guys working at
BCBG.
BCBG. Women are trying to become more like men than vice versa.
But what about all of the guys who are, you know, for lack of a better term, spending a lot of time on their hair, going tanning? What about the guys who are getting manicures?
That's a small group.
Manicures.
Small group.
I don't know about that. What, you know, a lot of guys now will carry, you've seen it, Gina, like guys who carry like a...
Man bags?
Like a man bag.
Yeah, the MRFs.
That's a small group.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not just gay guys who do that.
No, it's a rather small group. But women are also fighting in court to become more like men. They're fighting in court to have the same rights as men. They want to have the same privileges that guys do. Guys aren't fighting in court to become more like women.
All right.
And I think it's terrible. I think we're all going to become one big sex.
It'll be like a unisex nation.
Yeah, and you'll be able to, in 100 years from now. You won't be able to tell, like, by eyeballing somebody whether a man or a woman.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
And you know what? They might even change those terms after a while.
Really? You mean the term man and the term woman?
Because the Academy or the Emmy Awards or the Screen Actors Guild, they now use the term when they're giving out the Best Actress Award, Best Female Actor.
Right.
They've eliminated actress.
Best Actress is
They've eliminated work. Stewardess. They've eliminated secretary for the most part. These terms are going away because women want to become more like men. And, sweethearts, if you do that, you're in for a long, terrible, annoying life. Because guys aren't into it. Guys want women to be feminine. Guys want women to wear dresses. They want to be able to call you a stewardess. They want to call you a secretary.
Yeah.
They want to call you an actress. No guy ever says, hey, I just met this great female actor. Wow.
Right.
She hot.
And guys want to be able to lay a baby on you.
Yes, exactly. You got to have two sexes. You got to have two. We're melting it all into one.
Yeah, it is becoming like one. You're
right. It's all going to be one big effing sex. And then, you know, if you hammer a guy or hammer a girl, nobody's going to care. And everyone's going to be just one big gross piece of society.
Well,
all right. Are men becoming more like women or are women becoming more like men? Where do you see the trend here? 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. What do you observe out there on the mean streets of Southern California? It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. In today's society, March 4th, 5th, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4?
Today's the 4th of March, yeah.
4th of March, 2008. I can't use that as a best of now, huh? I effed it.
We can edit that out. Don't worry. Why don't you start from the top?
All right.
Jerry, music?
Please!
Jerry can't do it. Jerry can't restart. Oh, Jerry.
All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. It is
Conway and Whitman.
Conway and Whitman in sometime in the 2008s, 9s, or 10s. There you go. Give you a little window. Are men becoming more like women or are women becoming more like men? Where's the movement?
Mm.
And I think it's women becoming more like men.
Yeah, but I've seen a lot of dudes become more like chicks with the look, with the tans. Like, I know guys who...
But you don't see guys wearing dresses. You see a lot of girls wearing pants.
Well, but that's always been the case. I mean, women could always wear pants. Guys could
that's
never.
That's not true, dude. In my lifetime, and I remember back in the 60s, I'm not that old, but I remember a time when there are tons of women in dresses. I mean, you know, kids went to my elementary school. The girls would always be in dresses or skirts or...
Right.
They rarely wear pants.
Right, but I can remember when I was a kid growing up in the 1980s or the 1970s. I remember sometimes my mom, who had very feminine qualities, was a very feminine lady. I remember my mom in, dress pants.
Overalls?
No, dress pants or like a pair of jeans sometimes with shoes on. I mean, I remember that.
That's when you get older and you don't want to show those pins anymore because of the spider veins.
I don't know.
Cellulite. But I mean, when you're young, you might as well, show those legs. Maybe get a decent guy. Shauna in Riverside, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Hello, how are you?
All right.
I think that one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other. I think women right now are just basically standing up for their rights. We want equal pay and things of that nature. But as for men, I think men are basically taking care of themselves better. They've always been doing it. If you look at back in the Roman times, they had bathhouses and things of that nature that were exclusively for men. And, of course, there's a phrase that's been coined now, metrosexual, and that's basically for a man.
Yeah, I hate that term. Hey, but how close do you think men are to women when it comes to salary?
I don't think I think that we're at least 25% under women. I really do, because even where I work at, I do exactly the same thing as other men, and I know I get paid less.
So if a guy makes $100,000 a year, the woman will make $75,000?
Yes, I do believe that. I don't know
if it's that far.
I think it is. I think it's. They always say it's of the dollar, percentage of the dollar. I think it's.
And the reason why they justify it is because women, they take a risk. If a single woman starts a job, they know eventually she's going to get married. Eventually she's going to leave on maternity leave and things of that nature. So that's the reason why they tend to have a reasoning why men get paid a little more.
Well, and also that
seems like a legitimate reason, though.
Right. That might be the reason they put the guy in a management position where they want somebody for a long time, because they know the guy can give 30, 40 years. He can give his life to the company, where the woman will ultimately shift her priorities.
Right, and they look at the fact that most men will be taking care of a full family and things of that nature, too. But I don't think it's fair, but it's just the way it is.
Right. Well, it seems, I mean, when you put it in those terms, it seems fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right,
baby.
All right, thanks for calling, darling. All right, there she goes.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's talk to Scott on the 60 freeway. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
All right, men becoming like women or women becoming like men?
I have to agree with Conway. I think the women are becoming more like men. But then on the other hand, how many women have sex changes to become more like men?
That's true, but that's a small group.
Small part, but it's a fact.
Yeah, but the reason why women don't have sex changes to become men is because having a sex change is all about sex.
True.
And men are notoriously hornier than women.
That's a fact.
Well, having a sex change also, I think, Tim, if you talk to somebody who was having a sex change, it's all about, they identify gender identification. They identify themselves, or they identify as a woman or a man. It's not just about the act of sex. I mean, like, a woman
It's called a sex change, though.
I know what it's called, Tim, but what
do you know what the legal term is?
No.
You're going to laugh at this one. Gender reassignment.
Yeah, oh, yeah. All right, well, that's not a legal term. I mean, it's sort of just a politically correct term.
Right, but it's not, because I don't believe that women who are becoming, like, if a woman, wants to become a dude, and she, they give her all the hardware that, she would need to become a man, I don't think that is all about, oh, my gosh, I want to get a stick and I want to get out there and hit chicks. I think there's a lot more to it. I think the woman identifies as a man. She feels that she is a man. She feels she was born a man in a woman's body. I think there's a whole lot psychologically involved with changing one's gender that goes beyond simply sexual acts.
I don't believe that.
I didn't expect you to believe that, but it's the case.
Well, how do you know it's the case?
Because I've read it and I've seen people interviewed, and I know that people who have that change done, that there's a lot psychologically. I've seen these people interviewed and I've read about these people that they believe that they were born the wrong gender. They believe they're almost correcting something.
Right. I think it's all about the actual physical, the sex part of it.
Right. So you think a woman who wants to become a man simply wants a stick, so to speak, so that she can be a guy and have sex with hot women?
No. Here's how I see it. A guy wants to have a sex change because he feels like he wants to be a woman, right? But he wants to have, like, the sexual drive of a man as a woman, and he's off to the races.
I don't know what the sexual, when they have that change, there's a whole lot less, there's more estrogen and I would assume less testosterone involved, and so I don't know if the sex drive stays.
Plus, you can have a sex change. A man can become a woman much easier than a woman can become a man, because it's easier to lop off wiener than it is to
build this whole thing, right.
Right.
Yeah, probably right.
And
right.
The one you create is probably not going to be working all that great. You're going to have it in the shop probably, you know, 2 or 3 weeks a month.
All right. Well, I think it's takes a long time. Yeah.
Well, I don't even think you can do it.
Well, they do it.
But do they, and they actually create the...
I believe they do, yeah.
Is that right?
I believe they do. I believe that they get...
I'd have to wait. I think I'd wait for another 50 years until they really perfect that. I don't think you want to get in on the ground floor of that operation.
Yeah, I don't know if they're on the ground floor. I think they've done a few of them. I think that
I've never seen one.
No, nor have I. Thank God.
But you know, for a chick who or a guy who wants to become a woman, it's very easy.
Right.
You get yourself some cans. Snip off the wiener, and you're off to the women's room.
Right, but you have to create a whole thing. You know.
Yeah, but you can do that.
I'm sure.
Very easy to do.
Well, I think it's very. Then how come we're not doing it? If it's very easy, how come we're not being paid $150,000?
Let's put this. It may not be very easy to do,
right. But
it's very easy. It's much easier to take your balls off and throw them in the trash can.
I would agree.
Than it is to
create a pair.
To create a deuce under there.
I agree with you, my friend.
Very, very easy. All right, we're going to take a break here. Are men becoming more like women? Or are women becoming more like men in society? I think it's women becoming more like men, and I think it's depressing a lot of guys. You never see a skirt or a dress around anymore.
And this Hillary is not helping things with the pantsuits.
It'll be the kiss of death when it comes to women, if she makes it. All right, it is the Conway and Whitman Show, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. And we're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Are men becoming more like women or women becoming more like men? Michelle in Manhattan Beach, what say you, counselor?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Okay, so I'm part of the LGBT community.
The what?
And the lesbian, gay, transgender, and queer community.
All right.
And
Queer was added to that. Didn't that organization... That wasn't queer, just added?
I have friends who went through the process.
Right.
And I just wanted to let you know that, like, you know, you guys have to go through years of therapy before you get the trip, before the operation.
Right.
And you have to take hormones and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's not just a one-step thing where you do it.
No, I know, darling. I mean, is that all you have to offer, Bevan?
Well, and I was going to say that a lot of people, like my friend, she is becoming a man right now.
Right.
She's in a transition, and she's actually just becoming, she doesn't want to date women, she wants to date men, so she's becoming a man to date men.
All right, well, you're going to have to deal with a lot of late phone calls from her. There's going to be a lot of nights when you have a pot of coffee on, and you're going to have massive, radical discussions through the night.
Right.
I don't have the time or the patience. You know what I mean?
But you do, yeah. Right? I mean, it sounds like you have the time and patience for this.
Well, I'm here for my friends, but I just have a lot of people who are in the community, and I personally don't know what they're going through, but I'm a lesbian myself, and I just want to clear some things in the air.
Right. All right. Well, we're glad you did, and good luck with that friend of yours.
Right,
and now, what is her current first name?
Well, her legal name or what she's transgendering into.
What's her legal name?
Her legal name is Mallory.
Mallory. And what is she changing it to?
She's changing it to Mark.
Mark. All right, yeah. So Mallory's going to become Mark.
See?
And so and Mark will eventually date Peter.
Yeah.
Right.
She wasn't interested in having guys in her life as a woman. She wanted to become a gay man.
Well, she felt that because she came out as a lesbian, but she felt that she was
man.
She felt that she was too butch to date, to date men. So she felt like a man, and she didn't realize it till later on. And she's going through therapy right now and taking the hormones, and she's in that process to become a man to date other men.
All right. Well, I wish the two of you luck.
I just have one final question, if I may. When Mallory becomes Mark, and she's out there as Mark, you know, looking for a man, because then she'd be a gay man. As Mark will be a gay man, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. The dudes that she finds, like Peter, you know, Tim brought up the hypothetical Peter.
Yeah.
She'll want Peter just to be like a dude who's always been a dude, right? She won't want Peter to be someone like him who switched, or will she be looking for fellow switchers?
Well, there's a lot of transgender people date other transgendered because they have been through the process.
I see.
At what point during the process do you switch public restrooms?
Through the therapy, they start transitioning you to being that person before you get the operation, just so you know what it's like to live as that other gender.
Right, but do you, so she's still going to have a vagina, but using the men's room.
Exactly.
But not the urinal she ain't going to be using.
No, yeah.
She won't be able to use the urinal until after the operation. I imagine the first time you use that urinal as a new man, that must be some high.
Must feel.
I wouldn't even know if you know how to use it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure they explain.
You ask somebody else in the men's room? You go, hey, I'm 45, never used one of these things before.
No. I think it's a challenge to potty train 1- and 2-year-olds, but I don't think it's a challenge to potty train a 45-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, you still take the deuce like men and women do, but...
Right. Nothing changes there.
Yeah. But do you think she is more... Or do you think Mallory, Mark, who used to be Mallory... Do you think when she writes her name in the snow as Mark, do you think she uses script? She's like a little
more bubbly girl letters,
a little more talent, and she dots the I with a heart.
Now let me ask you. Let me ask you something. The operation has not happened to completion yet, right?
No.
Okay, so right now, what are you calling this person? What name are you calling this person right now?
Mark.
Why?
Oh, you're calling her Mark.
You refer to him as her as him because you are supposed to treat her as him because she is getting
all right.
So she wants you to call her Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Jerry, do me a favor.
Okay.
call Continental Airlines. I need 3 tickets to Cleveland. No, just one way.
Oh, really?
Probably 1 o'clock tonight is the earliest I could leave.
With one way, though, you might get some flack at the airport.
That's fine.
All right.
One way tickets. And if you could just call my wife, tell her to meet me at LAX.
Oh, you just want to go home and get your stuff?
No, I just want to go right to the airport. As a matter of fact, I want to go to the airport. Can we run a best of at 10 o'clock?
I'll have a taxi waiting for you if you want.
Please. I'll be at LAX tonight at 1 o'clock, I'll be in Cleveland by 6 a.m.
No.
And it was
it's been
a nice run.
Thank you, Tim. It's been fun.
Good night, Mark. Good night, Mallory.
Thank you for everything.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, my friend.
It was the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.